Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get to it, sir. What's different about NC State's half-court defense now than a month ago?
I think there's a lot of things, but if you had to highlight the big one, they're doing a better job taking away the rim. I think the pick-and-roll defense has held up, and they throw different looks at you. With Diarra and Middlebrooks, they can switch a lot, and those guys were very active switching against Duke. When it's DJ Burns, he's in the drop coverage. He's sitting back in the paint, that's been the case for two seasons with him now in Raleigh. But I just think he's done a better job being like a little bit more disciplined about keeping 2 feet in the paint, not lunging out at the ball handler, and just making sure he's in the way and that there's no dive pass to the roller going down the lane. And then again, Middlebrooks can switch, but you'll see him hedge. You'll see him be up at the level. Middlebrooks can kind of do everything defensively for you at the five spot. And he's so mobile. You're gonna guard things pretty aggressively or switch with him. And then it doesn't hurt that look, you have to close possessions down, and State has one of the best rebounders in the country with Mo Diarra, right? So they do a pretty good job forcing turnovers. With their switch, they can take away some of your automatic off-ball reads and make you play deeper into the shot clock. They're doing a better job controlling the paint, and then they've got an elite defensive rebounder, Mo Diarra, who's flying around making plays, not just rebounding, his blocks and individual defense have been incredible too. But I think if I had to highlight it, it would just be that they're just doing a better job guarding ball screens and taking away the paint.
Ryan Geisinger is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Have they done anything different to pressure the perimeter more, or are they just, is it basically all tied to pick and roll?
I mean, I think those things work together. I do think State's, perimeter defenders, they have good ones. Mm-hmm. Taylor and Morsell are plus, ACC perimeter defenders.
Right.
DJ Horn's a little bit smaller, but he's definitely not bad. He'll guard the ball, and O'Connell is obviously solid and has had some big defensive performances for them in the postseason in D.C. and, when they been for the ACC tournament and when they played Oakland. So I think there's something to be said about, not having a weak spot defensively.
Right.
If everyone's a C+, if not better defender, that's tough. There's no obvious point to go at. And again, Burns is probably a bit of a weak spot, but they can hide him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Having Diarra or Middlebrooks out there can protect him some. And then when they play those lineups where it's, three of the guards, and maybe you got Taylor and Morsell out there as two of them, and then you've got Middlebrooks and Diarra, offensively you're going to look different because you don't have the Burns post-up action to work off of. But defensively, they're super versatile. They're rangy. So I do think Morsell has really stepped up and taken on a challenge. It feels like he's defending the last 3 weeks like he did last season, where it was sort of seemed obvious that he was one of the better, more stout guard defenders in the league.
Ryan Geisinger is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Let me just kind of finish State before I get to Duke. Can any of the things that they have been doing, does it translate to dealing with Purdue and Zach Edey? Because they just look like they run a different type of offense than Duke was trying to run. Yeah. So how does what they were doing translate here? How would you attack Zach Edey?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot to deal with. And when Edey's on the court, they've been incredible this season. If you can somehow get him in foul trouble and get him off the court, they're very vulnerable because this is Purdue's offense. That's very versatile. They do a lot of cool motion concepts. They've got some pick and roll, but everything they do is tailored around Edey, rolling to the mm-hmm. rim and especially posting up. And when he rolls to the rim, often he's looking to get some paint position and seal down there. He's hard to double team because his post ups don't look like the DJ Burns. You know, the 20 feet out back down. These are much more like, you know, UNC high low style, right. You know, quick hitters, and so it's just tough to it's tough to get two guys on him because he's catching it with deep post position and he's gigantic, so he's just right at the rim. So like, I think it's tough because like he's also like he's just going to get to his spots at times, and there's just nothing you can do about it as opposed to hopefully just like avoid some bad fouls, because they do a really good job bending the defense a little bit, then rotating, reversing the ball, and then having, you know, Edie gets the seal on a duck in or on high low, and he goes pretty quick. Like he's, despite his size, like he's like fairly nimble for someone that's 7'4", 300 pounds, which is like, it's a pretty sizable qualifier on
right.
my point, but
yeah.
the point is true. So like, he's tough. I just think they've got to do a good job. Like making sure that that he's not able to do your work early and try to make sure he doesn't get deep post touches every single time down the court, because they can just high low you to death.
Yep.
Edie and Burns, those are the only two players in the country that recorded over 300 post up possessions this season. So it's like, it is a real like old school matchup, but Zach Edie, almost 500 post-up possessions. Like, this team, everything they do, like, every play that they run, it's not like designed to, like, get the ball to Edie. Like, it has some, like, last-second extension on us. You know what I mean? Where, like, all of a sudden, like, the ball's reversed one more time, then he backs in. Or there's
right.
one more cross screen, and then you look for him. Just, like, he can always be, like, this, like, tack-on, even when he's not the focal point of the play. So just, like, being aware of him at all times, trying to make that the pickup point difficult. And, like, you know, I don't think State's a team that double teams the post a lot, and Purdue can make you pay because they space it. You know, they play with pace and space around his post-ups, and they've got three or four really good shooters out there. So it's tough. It's a lot. But, hell, man, I've counted out State's defense too many times. This run to do it again. But this is a totally different animal. And just given Edie's foul-drawing prowess, 9.9 fouls drawn per 40 minutes, it's insane. He's fouling out two guys per game, basically.
Right.
It's a load to deal with.
Yeah, you know, they've got three guys who could theoretically guard the post, but it might take all three. All right, let's get to Duke. What went wrong?
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports,
sure.
Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I mean, kind of a lot of stuff. It was sort of like worst case scenario type game for them, with the exception of McCain just playing super duper well. And actually, while I have a second on McCain, anyone who's going at this guy for whatever strange non-basketball reason, you people are pathetic. This guy is all about winning.
People are going at him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes social media can be like a little bit of a toxic place.
Yeah,
you've seen this
sometimes
with McCain. That guy's all about winning. If you wouldn't want this guy in your team, you're a moron and you know nothing about
right.
basketball. He was awesome in this game.
I agree.
There was just not enough help elsewhere. I thought, this has been a reoccurring thing all season. I've tried to like not buy into the, you know, Kyle Filipowski, you can just take him mentally out of the games because he's still so good. But when they needed it most in this game with the season on the line, like, I thought Middlebrooks got in his head. He drew a couple of fouls, and all of a sudden, Kyle Filipowski, who's this amazing, you know, amazing two-way player, matchup problem,
yep.
good defender, anchors Duke's defense, all of a sudden, he's playing, you know, flip ball, you know, and it's not, all of a sudden, it's not,
mm-hmm.
he's not even, like, focused on the game because he's mad at the refs, he's mad at Middlebrooks. and then I just thought, like, they couldn't quite figure out for the second time this season, like, what they wanted to do with Burns. They go to single coverage, he scores every time, you know, or
right.
they run some cutters and get a bucket off that. They try to double team late, and then he picks out another cutter. So, like, I just think they never quite solved the Burns conundrum Flip was not in, you know, not in his game in the second half.
Right.
And then to have a guy like Tyrese Proctor, who's a really good player, I mean, to have him miss every shot and score 0 points
zero.
Playing 30 minutes in the Elite Eight game is, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, and I really thought Jeremy Roach after the second half against Houston, I thought we would have gotten vintage Jeremy Roach. And it looked like we were going to get good Jeremy Roach, but ultimately we didn't. Like, he had a fairly good start to the game, and then it kind of went away. And they went way too many stretches without Jared McCain really, you know, being a major factor in the offense. They went way too long a period of time without McCain driving. Too many empty spots. And I did think that, just going back to the Carolina game, the second Carolina game, when John after the game talked about all these things that we do or that we're not doing well are in our control. And I pushed back on that simply because, you know, sometimes the other team, they're trying to do the same things you are, and they're just better suited. I wonder if there was enough. And guys, Flip kind of talked about, you know, in terms of his own inability at times to maintain focus and to get, you know, to. And he clearly wasn't there. They had to rely too much on Ryan Young against Houston to kind of get them settled in the game. And that's great and all that, but you shouldn't have to rely on Ryan Young to do that. There were some internal things missing from that team this year that I just don't think you can really overcome when it really gets down to it. So where do they go from here?
Yeah, and I should tack on, I mean, no Caleb Foster, too. We talked about this goal, but I think they missed his shooting. I think they missed his drives. You know, he's a guy they could have gone to. But this, to me, like, I think if I'm assessing this roster now and going forward, like, obviously there's going to be a ton of turnover. But it's like, who stays? You know, you need to try to lock down as many of the Caleb Foster, John Stewart. You know, I assume Jared McCain's gone, but is there a chance he wants to come back? What's Tyrese Proctor going to do? Is Jeremy Roach going to come back for a fifth year? I think you got to figure, like, all of that stuff out.
Right.
Because you've got a ton of, like, incoming talent, but, and you've got, you know, arguably the best draft prospect in the country coming to Durham in a few months, but, like, you've got to figure out how you want to, like, complete the roster. And so it's like, is that going to be done by bringing some guys back, or is that going to be done by, like, really overhauling things in the portal? No matter what, they're going to have to find stuff in the portal. Like, I think they, looking at this roster, there was a front court rotation that was missing a player or two.
You right.
Know, like a shooter at the four spot or a lob threat at the center spot. I mean, maybe that would have been Christian Reeves if he had been healthy this year. A 3-and-D type wing, you know, losing Jacob Grandison from last season. And, you know, TJ Power couldn't quite play that role, you know, this year. And so I think it's going to be key to sort of like piece in like how you want to like augment these big time, this one, at least this one big time talent you've got coming in with Cooper Flagg. So I don't know, it's figuring out who wants to return. And then going from there in terms of like the portal, there's some work to be done, but like Duke has obviously like every resource in the world and a really smart coaching staff. But if I were John Shire, my thought would be, I'm not putting together a roster like this that's got like, you know, holes on it, and
right.
It's not happening anymore. And I do think he's going to have to sort of like, I have incredible respect for John Shire. I think he's an amazing coach. One thing though, I do think he's going to have to sort of like sort through lineups a little bit more. His hands were tied to an extent this season, but
right.
You know, not having Stewart or Power developed, you know, maybe that's something that maybe that wasn't possible, but having one more guy that you really, really could have trusted, would have maybe swung one or two more games for you. And that's like the difference between an ACC title and no ACC title and, you know, Final Four or an Elite Eight. Margins are tight.
Yeah, well, obviously. I think, we saw Sean Stewart coming on at the end of the year.
For sure.
I don't know what drives kids to leave or stay. Some kids want to stay to pursue a title, but the reality is they're probably staying because they're not going to go high enough in the draft. Because that's, so I don't know where Jared McCain fits in the NBA draft. I mean, I've seen enough mock drafts to see his name come up in the mid-20s, right? I haven't seen him any higher than that. Kyle Filipowski's in the mid-teens, so I haven't seen him really any higher than that at this point. And who knows what if the latest performance matters in a negative way, since Kyle kind of mentally went away in a time that his team really needed him. So that can't be a good thing if teams are scouting what they see in games. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I do know Duke's recruiting class is very front court heavy. There's a lot of bigs and forwards and wings, and not a lot coming in on at guard. So to me, that's they desperately need to either retain some of their backcourt or go out and find some of the at least one more piece in the backcourt. Yeah. I don't know.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think you could make a case for all of the guards to potentially be, I mean, I don't think all of them will be back, but you could certainly make a case like Proctor, and I don't think a lot of this was his, I think some of this wasn't entirely his fault. Like, he's still pretty young for a sophomore too, but just like his draft stock is in a worse place now than it was 365 days ago. I think Caleb Foster was never a one and done type guy. No. He loves being a Duke. Like, he should come back and be a really good sophomore guard for Duke. Jeremy Roach, I mean, I guess he could have one more year of eligibility. He's an amazing college point guard, like, and he could probably make more with NIL at Duke than he could playing anywhere else next season. Like, he's not, likely to end up on a full-time NBA roster. And, like, I think McCain is a guy that probably played himself into the middle of the first round, that kind of shooter, the movement, special stuff, man.
Yeah.
And he's all about the right things. But look, he, like, his brother's at Duke. He loved playing at Duke. Like, he makes a ton of money on NIL. Maybe he wants to play with Cooper Flagg. there's a case to be made for all of these guys. So, and it's just sort of tough to, like, from the outside looking in to just, like, guess what's going to happen. I would assume McCain's played himself into too high of a pick to come back, but we've definitely seen stranger things. And I think, but because this is a little bit of a weaker draft, maybe you think you're more suited there, but hell, man, if you want to live in Durham for one more year, play college basketball, make seven figures doing it, and play with Cooper Flagg, maybe win a go to the Final Four, win a title, feel like you got unfinished business, then there's a lot of reasons why you would want to come back, too.
Brian Geisinger, our Mr. Basketball. All right, sir, we're not done with you. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you guys be good.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.